Maybe you'll end up like me, a hobo with a zombie takeout. I hope you can do better.
Welcome to episode 138 of Zombie
Zombie Takeout.
The B Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scott O.
And before we get to this week's movie, got some listener submitted. This is from RJNC on Twitter. Just discovered the podcast, enjoying it, going through the back episodes. Thank you, glad you like the show.
Welcome aboard.
Yes, welcome aboard. If you're going through the back episodes, particularly when you get to maybe the first five or six,
go easy on us.
Practice a bit of expectation management. We've gotten a lot better over the years.
Just honest.
Yeah, just want to let you know. Next, we have one from Matt Goranson on Facebook in reference to last week's episode. Thanks for doing another one of my requests, guys. Can't wait for Hobo with a Shotgun. So let me get this straight. In the world of Barbarella, Earth has no army or police, so the one hope to stop a bad guy is a star astro-navigatrix who immediately crashes her ship. Twice. We kind of skipped over that.
Oh, you kidding me? We also skipped over the fact that the plot is pretty much Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, true. But I think that was, as I said on Facebook in response to Matt, wedged in between the opening striptease and the world's most interesting hair shirt.
Right.
So
we had just too many things to talk about with this movie. Right. It could have been like a double episode, really, if we had been ambitious enough.
Yeah.
Also, I kind of have to take notes and in a different fashion starting last week, so things were a little different for me.
And finally, we have Movie Vigilante also on Twitter in reference to this week's movie. I still haven't seen this yet, but being a huge fan of the Trailer Park Boys and Rob Wells, I will. Now, I don't know. Are you familiar with Trailer Park Boys?
Yes.
I've only seen a few episodes, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I should let you know he's only in one scene toward the beginning of the movie for about 5 to 10 minutes. He does a great job. It's a great scene. But that's it for him. So if you're seeing it for him, you might be a little disappointed after that.
He's the Drew Barrymore of the
Yes. Well said.
Thank you very much.
And on to some news. Both of these are from IO9. First story, the Evil Dead remake looks graphic, gruesome, and absolutely wonderful.
Nice.
The first ever footage of the remake Evil Dead screened at the New York Comic Con, and it is fucking crazy. Spoilers ahead. First, we saw the iconic cabin, which is introduced with the iconic Sam Raimi low-angle tracking shot. A group of new kids and Jane Levy push open the old cabin door, revealing leaves, dirt, and a grubby cabin floor. Jane looks beat as hell and ready for her night of heroin withdrawal. Yes, they're keeping the plot similar to the original. Now, I don't remember any withdrawal story in the original.
No, I do not either.
It was just a bunch of college kids partying in the woods.
Yeah.
A trapdoor is discovered. A boy heads down the stairs and discovers the Necronomicon. Sadly, we didn't get the money shot of the cover of the new book cover. All we saw was a book wrapped in black plastic. Someone ripped into it, and the familiar old pages. The characters start flipping through the Necronomicon, rubbing a pencil over the strange words. He recites the enchanted phrase. Jane lets out an insane high-pitched scream and then states, "We're all going to die tonight." So that's the Dead by Dawn of this one, I guess.
Okay.
This was already cut together pretty quickly. Now things get even faster. So we're only getting flashes of the gore. I spot a girl in the shower cutting up the sides of her mouth while one of her cabin mates screams, "What are you doing?" Another girl's arm looks like it's covered in boils, and she takes an electric carving knife to her bicep. Someone starts up a chainsaw. Yes, okay,
of
glad
course.
To hear that.
You have to.
The crowd goes insane at this. Cut to another girl trapped in the woods, wrapped with branches. Yes, the raping tree is back.
No way.
Jane returns with white eyes, white skin, and a black tongue, which she sticks out provocatively, licking an exposed knife. Slowly, the knife starts splitting her tongue in half. She's doing this right in front of the boil-armed girl's face, and at some point, the words, "Evil Dead Lives," were splashed across the screen. Director Fede Alvarez claims that next to no CGI was used during the filming of this remake.
They really cut her tongue in half?
So it's mostly practical effects. They've got the chainsaw, the tree. Looks a lot gorier than the original, but that's understandable.
Well, yeah.
A lot more disturbing. So this actually sounds like it'll be good.
It sounds like they've combined the first two movies, which is a wise thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't get the chainsaw in the first one, does he?
Nah, I don't recall. I haven't seen the first one as much as I've seen the second one, of course. But I don't remember him having the chainsaw, you know, the great farewell to arm sight gag
yeah.
and all in the second one.
Although it is a trailer. Or actually not a trailer per se, but it's cut together footage. The chainsaw shot could be just a tease. Maybe it's not in the same context. I'm hoping it is. I'm, you know, hoping one of them is the ash of the movie.
Well, yeah, that's part of what made Evil Dead, you know, Evil Dead was the insane ash.
Well, that's why the standard advice is skip the first one, go straight to two.
Right.
You know, because as we've pointed out in our review and probably a few times since then, he's not Ash in the first one. He's Ashley.
Yeah, he's kind of along with it. You know, it's that second one, that who's laughing now scene, where he just embraces it and goes ahead.
We get a glimpse of Ash at the end of the first one, but he's not really Ash until he loses the hand.
Exactly.
And now, just a couple of short items from Tuesday's Morning Spoilers column on IO9. RoboCop is getting pushed back. It was originally slated for August 9th. The movie has been pushed back to February 7th, 2014, which isn't generally thought of as a time to launch major blockbusters, which, considering all the reports that the movie is kind of a total shambles, is not exactly encouraging.
Have they lost any more cast members?
Not according to this.
Okay.
Gonna be a while, though.
I'm guessing they're gonna start losing more actors at this point.
They're still filming, probably.
Yeah.
And some good news, Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, and Nick Frost's epic apocalyptic conclusion to the Loose trilogy started by Shaun of the Dead, a.k.a. the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy, or the Three Flavors Cornetti trilogy, I think is the other name, has a new poster and an official release date, October 25th, 2013. So a little over a year.
Okay.
We'll have the...
You can wait that long.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it. Of course. So, on to this week's movie, which is, from 2011, Hobo with a Shotgun. And, of course, the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by the Pawn Till Dawn Pawn Shop. Whether you're looking for a lawnmower, a shotgun, or even a full machine shop, you'll find it all at Pawn Till Dawn.
They'll even leave the shotguns out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what's that? Oh, yeah, and fully loaded, of course, yes. All right, so, what we have this... this, you know, vagabond man, homeless, a hobo, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanders into town and he gets a shotgun. No, there's more truth than that. I'm just messing with you.
You pretty much just skipped the entire first half of
the movie. I know. It takes him half the movie to get the shotgun, but... All right, so we have these insane people that have taken this town over. They sort of are hosting a game show without a show, if you will, terrorizing people and torturing them and killing them. And this hobo sort of wanders into the middle of this. And he, of course, meets a hooker with the heart of gold. And they, of course, get mixed up in this, too. They find out are in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, actually, he rescued the hooker from said villains.
Yes.
And then winds up making a citizen's arrest. Yes, where she rescues him after he attempts to make a citizen's arrest to find out the police were in fact in on this too. And well, eventually he does lead up to that shotgun from the pawn store, and
Which was curiously hanging there fully loaded. Or at least with one
yes.
shell in it.
Well, yeah, and they well, I'd say hilarity ensues, but there's still a bit more. He shoots a lot of people, a lot of people, and well, she gets kidnapped, of course, because that's the second cliche. You hook her with the heart of gold, and then the woman has to get kidnapped, and they bring in something called the plague, which I'm not quite sure what they were exactly,
Two
but
guys in hobbled together plate armor with very deep voices and a pet octopus, or what appeared to be a pet octopus.
yes. And I'm willing to say hilarity ensues from there on.
Now, in the beginning of the movie, you see him getting off of the train. It's a typical hobo riding the rails thing.
Yes.
And I gotta say, they did an incredible job of reproducing the Planet 70s look.
Well, yeah, but that was really odd. In fact, there's a show in Canada, because, well, that's one thing we have to get out of the
Yeah,
way.
it's very Canadian.
This is an extremely Canadian movie. In fact, when you said Radio Vigilante, yeah, when I heard that he was interested in this, and I think the last time we had seen him was the last Canadian movie
Oh,
we had
okay.
done.
Perhaps he's Canadian, I don't know.
Right. Well, remember, he gave a shit about
Slapshot, yeah.
Slapshot. Yes. He's very much Canadian, I'm thinking.
But yeah, to the point where the two villains, Slick and Ivan, drive a Bricklin, which is a Canadian car from the 70s. Looks a lot like a DeLorean, but about 5 years before to 10 years before the DeLorean,
Yeah.
which was impressive. They also at one point kill a few or a couple points kill people with ice skates.
Yes. Only in a Canadian movie can you use hockey, skates as a weapon. But I was getting
When
at.
Abby was grabbing all of the food when she and the hobo were gonna run away, I could swear I saw a box of Kraft Dinner.
Of course. But anyway, the point I was getting at was the beginning reminded me a lot of a Canadian children's TV show that my wife has had the I don't know, she had made me see a couple times, called,
I should
I
point
believe it
out to
was,
the new listeners that Scott is Canadian by marriage.
yes, I believe it was called The Littlest Hobo,
Okay.
and it's about this dog who travels from it's pretty much the whole fugitive story of the person wandering from town to town,
Yeah.
only it's a dog.
Interesting.
And it makes none of the show makes any fucking sense whatsoever, because of course it's a dog.
Yeah.
But the beginning kind of reminded me of that, the whole granola-y feel, and someday he's gonna find his road, or whatever. So yeah, the beginning, the opening scene, very weird,
Very
cracked me the
Canadian.
hell up though.
And then it becomes a trauma movie.
Yes. Very much so. I'd say more. You thought that one scene in the Moth Diaries had a lot of blood in
Yeah, no, nothing compared to this.
it. There were like several shower scenes in this movie.
Combine every Uwe Boll movie and both Piranha movies in terms of, sheer gallons of fake blood, and you have this.
This was a gore concert, if there ever
Yeah,
was
pretty
one.
much.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, the way that they do away with the people, with their targets, it involves a manhole cover. Very inventive.
The first time, and the second, when they bring it around to the second time, it was kind of like,
Well, that's the first time. It's you've never seen anything like that, so
Sure.
I appreciated the inventiveness of it. Although in the beginning, the first one, the fake head was hilarious,
Yeah.
because it was clearly a mannequin head.
Well, yeah. I thought they kind of went a little too elaborate in their deaths,
Perhaps,
in
yeah.
their killing. I mean, isn't it good enough alone to have a manhole cover collar? I was thinking they were going to do the whole, traffic,
Yeah,
kind of the
run over him, yeah.
Highlander-ish thing. Yeah. But didn't to do the barbed.
Decapitation.
Yeah. I don't.
I liked it. It was original.
True.
And in these kind of movies, you never expect original deaths. At least not that original.
Right.
It's a lot better than, carnivorous fish.
That can swim into people.
Yeah, and through sheet metal.
Sheet metal, yeah. Yeah, I thought, like, well, skipping way later in the movie, but like the noose gun, the grappling,
Yeah.
spear, that was just downright silly. They were kind of
Yeah.
hitting the Graham Chapman moment when they were getting to that hospital scene towards the end.
The plague in general were that Graham Chapman moment.
Yeah, very much so.
Because it's these, like I said, two guys in hobbled together plate armor, which is fine, kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Particularly as a WoW player, I liked, the take on plate armor. On motorcycles, of course.
Reminded me very much of Randall Tex Cobb from Raising Arizona, only
Yes,
with armor.
yes. But then you get to their lair, and there are these tentacles sticking out of this door.
Right.
And then one of them speaks, and it's this guttural, inhuman, demonic voice. So they're not just sadists who the head of this one town calls in to take care of people. They're non-human, which is a little too much for me.
Yeah.
But actually, about halfway through, I think I even got a little tired of all the violence.
You know what? I'm so glad that it isn't just me. Because I mean, I don't get me wrong, love a good
Oh yeah.
splatterfest and gorefest. But
From past episodes, we do enjoy that.
after a while it was just, okay. Again, yeah, we kind of saw that the first 50 times.
And it wasn't just that, it was also, I think, the tone, because I think they tried to take it a bit too seriously.
I think they ran out of steam. They had a very serious
Maybe.
message underneath, and they kind of got tired of it themselves. It seems like we're skipping an awful lot first, though. We're kind of getting towards.
I think we're gonna be a little meandering in this one.
Okay, as long as it's okay to meander.
Oh, of course. Should mention that Hobo with a Shotgun was initially a fake trailer made for an international contest to promote the release of Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez's double feature Grindhouse.
I
It
thought that sounded familiar.
won the contest and was screened in some areas of Canada as part of the actual release of Grindhouse. And then because it won, it was turned into an actual movie. Not the first to do that. It was the second of Grindhouse's fake trailers to be turned into a feature film, the first being Rodriguez's Machete.
Was Rutger Hauer in the trailer?
No, actually, that was Brian Brunt. He played the cop in this one who shouts, "We're all dirty cops."
Yeah.
That was the original hobo. Because obviously, someone made it for a contest. They're not going to be able to afford Rutger Hauer.
When I was just doing my usual, looking around before we recorded this, looking at Rutger Hauer's IMDb, this motherfucker worked a lot in 2011. Did he
Really?
like get divorced or something?
I have no idea. Wasn't aware that he had worked that much.
Okay, his credits in 2011. I won't. Let's see. I could either just read them off, or I could just count them. It's more fun to read them off.
Okay.
We have Spoon, Requiem 2019, which is short only. Hobo with a Shotgun, The Mill and the Cross. I already lost track of my count. One, two, three, four. The Right, Black Butterflies. Another four, a couple foreign language movies, IA4N, The Cardboard Village, Portable Life, Life's a Beach, The Reverend, The Heineken Kidnapping.
Interesting title.
Yes, all of that
I
was
counted all
done.
11.
he did all of that in 1 year, 2011.
Wow. And Hobo with a Shotgun is the only one I've heard of. Spoon sounds like it might be up our alley.
Yeah.
But I'm a Tick fan, so maybe that's why it appeals to me.
And then he did like 5 movies. He has 5 movies this year.
Wow.
Yes. 3 in post-production, 2 that have been released.
And he hasn't had to resort to cheesy major, you know, mainstream blockbusters to do it.
And actually, okay, so only 4 movies this year. One of them was a TV series he did an appearance on.
You know, he hasn't had to go the Liam Neeson, Ben Kingsley direction.
I don't know. You'd think he's got some Batman Begins money.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was in that.
Yeah. Sin City.
Yeah. Was he in, wait, Sin City?
Yeah.
Who was he in Sin City?
He's Cardinal Rourke.
Oh, wow. I have not seen that in quite a while. I forgot he was in that. I have to revisit.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what he does. He, you know.
Small parts.
Yeah.
And he does it well.
Yeah, he does.
For a guy who started with cheesy action movies, he's really learned what he does well.
How come he didn't get in on the Expendables thing?
This is true. It might have been a bit better with him. And
I think he deserves to be in that with all of those other guys.
And maybe in place of a few of them. Did you see the Expendables?
No.
I'll just say way too much dialogue for a movie filled with guys who aren't known for their acting.
Oh, boy.
Easily a third of the movie is dialogue. And when Mickey Rourke is your best actor.
Wow. Yeah.
The action scenes were fun.
Academy Award winner Mickey Rourke, though.
Well, Mickey Rourke's a good actor. He's done some really good work as of late. Who would have thought back in the days of... what was that movie? Something Orchid. You know, back when he was making the cheesy Skinamax type movies, who would have thought that he would turn out to be a really good actor? But
I think they should do a remake of Johnny Handsome with him now without the makeup. Anyway, we need to get back to
to this movie.
Hobo
yes.
with the Shotgun.
Yeah, but I think a big problem with it is it should have been funnier.
Well,
that's what I mean
by
it takes itself too seriously. They could have gone the Piranha direction and just been completely silly and over the top and fun. And it falls short a bit.
I think the problem is they just didn't have the funny people behind it like Piranha did.
Yeah.
You know, the peanuts out of the shit thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that was intended to be like a great funny joke, of course,
At least I've heard it many times before, because we know somebody who has been saying it since, the mid-90s?
Yeah, something like that.
And the pedophile Santa, I know I've seen that in something else.
Well, and that was just so briefly done, you know? It was just, you know, he saw him running away with a kid, and then, you know, driving off with the kid.
Right.
And then you see him getting his just desserts, or shotgun shells, of course.
Right.
Spoiler.
Well, not exactly.
Yeah, you know, if they're doing something wrong, they're going to get a shotgun shell.
Right.
But, so, again, it's kind of a not letting something develop.
Mm-hmm.
Or they went the other extreme and put too much into it.
Right.
Like, I was damn impressed by the school bus scene.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that.
Just the fact that they went there, really.
The fact that they went there, and the use of Disco Inferno. That actually made me laugh.
I think they could have used Disco Inferno, but not with the boombox. Just have that as the soundtrack.
I think
the boombox just made it...
It called it out too much?
Yeah. Yeah.
It took me a minute to remember the name of the song, because it starts, you know, with the bass line.
Right.
And it takes me a minute to think, what song is that? And by that time, they show the blowtorch, and you know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And then I click on Disco Inferno, and I laughed. But then you get to one of the cheesier moments, the speech to the newborns. And this is in the trailer. You've all seen it, if you've seen the trailer. He gives a speech to these newborns in a hospital about, how you be careful what hap how you grow up, and you might turn out to be me, or you might turn out to be one of these pieces of shit that I'm killing. And he actually says the name of the movie.
Well, yeah.
This had to be from the original trailer for the contest. And
Probably.
it probably was very funny in that context.
Yeah.
But in the movie itself, it's just a bit much.
I think the problem also is Howard gives too good a performance for this.
That's a distinct possibility, yeah.
Because he is totally into the role.
Oh, yeah.
There's no winking or anything
He is not
about it.
phoning it in whatsoever.
Right. He is giving this 110%, and he does a great job of the
Yeah.
performance. But the problem is this movie calls for cheese.
Yeah. It's kind of like putting Liam Neeson in a trauma film.
Oh, wow, that hurt my head. I
But
don't
I'm
know how
saying,
that would turn out.
I mean, I don't know if Hug Hauer is as good as Liam Neeson, but this isn't as good as Troma, so the analogy works.
You know what'd be awesome? Daniel Day-Lewis in a trauma film.
Yes. And speaking of Troma, you talked about, how if you're a bad guy, you're going to get a shotgun
Yeah.
shell. This is very Toxic Avenger.
Oh, yes.
This is basically the same story as the Toxic
Very
Avenger,
much so, yeah.
which I think is another reason it made me think Troma and kind of, I would say, ruined it. I overall enjoyed it, but it took away from it because I was looking for that Troma fun,
Yeah.
and it just didn't deliver. Now, I have to nitpick a few things. This
Really?
isn't a movie I would normally nitpick because it's not, you don't expect to take any of it seriously, but there's just a few things. When the plague are attacking the hospital, you mentioned the grappling gun, the noose gun.
Yes.
They also run one of the doctors through with a sword without a tip. It's basically just a straight sword with a square top, a flat top.
Yeah, I did not even notice that with the sword.
How is that going to go through anybody?
The sword didn't have a tip.
No. It's completely flat on top.
Oh.
And also, okay, so they managed to, what did they, yeah, they kidnapped the hobo. About to give him the manhole treatment.
Yeah.
Abby decides to save, the hooker with the heart of gold decides to save him. Goes to the pawn shop where he got the gun. And pulls a few other things down, the lawnmower that he's been drooling over for most of the, from the first half of the movie before he got the gun.
I
He
didn't
wanted.
really get the lawnmower fixation.
He explained it. When they were going to run away, she asked him point blank, what's up with the lawnmower? He wanted to settle down somewhere and start a business mowing people's lawns. And that was the plan when they were going to run away. They were going to start this business together.
All right.
But,
You know,
she.
I, you know, he said it, and I'm still just kind of like, I don't get it.
But anyway, she goes to the pawn shop to save, to get stuff to save him. The lawnmower, an axe, and there's this fully stocked machine shop at the pawn shop. Vice, welding tools, and the hooker with the heart of gold can weld. This is never mentioned up until this point. Suddenly, she just knows how to weld.
Of course.
And her accent really kind of killed her speech.
The speech to the homeless,
Yeah, I mean, it was a kind of a
or not
silly.
to the homeless,
The
to
people of
the
the town to rise up against Drake.
I have my notes describing it as a total Billy Madison.
Yes.
That's what I mean about them just pretty much getting tired and losing steam with their own script, really.
And she gives a speech to them, and it's a bad speech to begin with.
Oh, it's terrible. It is.
But her
She just.
accent just makes, because she's got a very pronounced Canadian accent. And it just makes it
Hey.
that much funnier.
But yeah, she just runs through this speech, almost rolling her eyes through a portion of it, too.
Because she was really good up until that point.
Yeah. And then you get the feeling that they were just, let's wrap this fucker up.
Yeah.
Let's finish this. With the exception of Howard, of course. He's still
Oh, yeah. He
plugged to the hilt.
commits through the entire movie every second. He is completely committed.
Yeah. But everybody else is just let's
Yeah.
end this
It,
fucker
it's
at
it's had
the
its time.
yeah.
And another just nitpicky thing. They get to the end scene, and of course the hobo is about to get the manhole treatment.
Yeah.
She manages to cut the rope on the noose, and then why doesn't she just shoot the Drake and the other plague member? Because she'd already killed one of the plague at this point.
Oh yeah, pretty much.
She could have just shot the two of them and been done with it.
Yeah.
But no, she basically curls up at that point and dies. Not literally dies, but she just gives up at that point. And she takes some permanent damage that I was actually very shocked by. Because I fully expected her and the hobo to get through completely unscathed.
Yeah.
And she's got incredibly strong bones. That's all I'll say about that.
Well, and what was it from the one of the Piranha movies where you're talking about the one person dying because they lost their legs, the parasailing. This one is has the will to and the constitution really to, fight after such trauma
And
happens.
apparently very thick blood, because you would have thought she had bled out by then.
Of course. They pretty much bathed in it.
Yeah. Major arteries sprouting, and she lives a good 10 minutes. And does some fighting, and then saves the hobo.
Right. I think, I was enjoying this. I mean, it had its moments. I was enjoying it, and then there were parts where I was kind of
Right.
and then I think the ending happened.
After she saves the hobo? Or when she saves the hobo? Because
When
that's the last part I remember.
all hell breaks
Oh,
loose,
right. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, he doesn't meet a happy ending either.
it just
Yeah.
it really, I mean, first you're thinking it's too silly because of the whole, plague thing, and then they decide, that's not quite silly enough. Let's make this insanely silly.
Basically, the rest of the town rises up and goes after the Drake and the plague and the remaining son.
Right. So
All the bad guys.
they had enough really, I think, against Drake versus the hobo, and the plague, versus the hobo and the hooker with the heart of gold. To bring other parties into it just kind of took away from it. More
Or
than kind of, it did.
just make that a very quick thing before they run off. And because I kind of wanted to see that happy ending for those two.
Really?
Maybe I'm getting old, but I just kind of wanted to see them slip away as the rest of the town descends on the Drake.
Well,
They didn't need to see the big scene at the end.
it was. I guess they the goal was to just see how far over the top they could push it. But it kind of took away from me, I think they had a nice confrontation climax, and then they, threw a lot of, I don't know what you'd call on top of it, a lot more fake blood on
Yeah,
top of it.
gallons and gallons of it.
Gallons and gallons.
Okay, I'm pretty much done with my notes.
I think we've talked about most of my favorite parts, but the toaster, I do like my toast extra crispy. And the cliche hospital scene, in my opinion, is the funniest
Yeah.
moment in this film. I don't want to ruin it because, well, it's just the traditional ER doctors dealing with the patient.
Oh, yes, when she flatlines, yes.
Right.
And that's not a spoiler. That's pretty much, it's gonna happen. But
But
the
the
way.
way they the ad lib, I don't know if it was ad lib or the way they tweaked the traditional line, I thought was the funniest damn part in the whole film. One thing I really did not like all that much were the villains. The Drake specifically. I don't know. I just didn't really buy him all that much, He needed to be more charismatic, didn't he?
You can't really see how he would end up leading anybody.
Exactly. You can't. He's just some dude,
And he was the mayor from every trauma film. Or
Pretty
I should say
much.
the mayor from every Toxie movie. And I've seen that part played better. I've seen it played better by Ron Jeremy. So
yeah.
I think it was three or four Ron Jeremy was in, and he played that part better. So
I think that would have helped this out a lot.
Yeah.
And the kids, you know, were just kind of a, you know.
They
some
were.
Of them had, they had their moments, but sometimes they were just chewing scenery, really.
They were the two guys from the first Toxie movie, the two bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, who you know, made the sport of hitting the kids. Those guys.
Right, right.
This was the Toxic Avenger with Rutger Hauer as Toxie, effectively, and not as much fun.
Okay, so you put a 2-2 on Rutger Hauer, and I'm sold.
Hmm. Okay.
Anyway, that's
And you make Abby blind.
Yes. There's your movie.
On to sequels and remakes.
On to sequels and remakes.
Obviously, no remake planned yet.
of course.
Way too soon.
If we were to remake this, though, I'd stick with Hauer.
Oh, absolutely.
Although,
and he can be any age. I mean, you could do this in 20 years, and he'll still fit the role because he's a hobo. The more old and grizzled he looks, the more it sells.
I don't know. Who would be a good candidate for Drake? You said Ron Jeremy, but I don't know.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to stick with that. I actually could see Ron Jeremy there. He plays a good villain.
I guess so.
However, I can see a sequel. There is no plan for a sequel. It won't be with the hobo, at the risk of spoiling a little bit there. But I can see Abby taking his place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of what they were doing there.
Mm-hmm. Because she isn't involved in the final fight, but she survives it, supposedly. I mean, she just made it about 15 minutes with massive blood loss. So you can assume she survives the end of the movie. And I can see her kind of moving on to a new town, you know, and having her shotgun with the axe welded to it. And
well, they were hinting at her, you know, taking over the plague.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she killed one of the plague, and the other one said, you know, you killed one of us, now you're one of us.
Right. But she, of course, can do, you know, turn the plague around, perhaps.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. And so, on to brains.
On to brains.
On the whole, I enjoyed it, but it just fell a bit short of my expectations. Hauer was brilliant. Molly Dunsworth, I think her name is, who played Abby, was really good except for that one speech. Actually, most of the performances were really solid, but it just took itself too seriously and it just wasn't fun for past the first half. So I'm going 3.5.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can after you see a series of splatters, you need to mix it up with something else.
Yeah.
I mean, they did some guts here and there, but I don't know. The splattery got boring by the end, too. And I've never seen a movie really run out of steam, almost literally run out of steam, like this movie did, where they weren't even, you know, they were speeding through the script to get it done. I've seen it done in high school.
I would say at least the last third, if not the last half, was completely phoned in, except for Hauer.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty much going with a 3, and then the ending killed it for me, so I'm going with 2.5.
Okay. What have we learned?
Cops. And I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Now I learned that anyone can weld without the slightest bit of training. All right, so until next week when we'll be reviewing Rubber, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please, please, if you like the show, leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It'll really help us out. You can also find the movie list, everything we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're planning to review. Well, up through next week at this point is in order.
Yes.
Also, the recommendations list, every movie we've given collectively 4 brains or better. We've talked about doing an anti-recommendations list. I'll just point it out again. 3 movies to avoid. Showgirls, Crossroads, They Call Me Bruce. Just don't bother with those 3.
If you didn't know about the two of them already, I mean, really, we can't help you.
And the request form, if there's a movie you want to hear, you want us to review, go to the request form, let us know what it is. You can also leave us an email, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. What was that? Okay. Until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
You can't solve all the world's problems with a shotgun.
It's all I know.
Maybe you'll end up like me, a hobo with a zombie takeout.